It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to the 40th episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This first podcast of 2012 features a great interview with Tony Lee and Dan Boltwood, the creators behind Danger Academy from Kickstart Comics. You get to hear a lot of the reasons why the book has so many fun elements to it, and I think it's a great interview to start the year off with. One word of warning, Dan was a little under the weather when we recorded, so you'll hear a little coughing every once in a while, but it's not too bad. Then I talk with Pete Casaza from Big Planet Comics, and he fills us in on how things went in his store in December. And we wrap things up with Ian Cullen and Gianluca Glazer with the first news and previews of the year. Since there's so much happening, let's get on with the show. Talking today with Tony Lee and Dan Boltwood of Danger Academy fame from Kickstart. How are you guys doing today?
Not bad, Wayne. Not bad. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, and to you too. I really love the book because I wrote this, as you called it, somebody called it a rip-roaring review for it in my column because it was great fun. It has elements of Harry Potter and Secret Agents and X-Men and all kinds of other little things in it. And it's such an interesting little book. I really enjoyed it. Can you guys tell me a little bit about how this came to be? How did the Danger Academy get started?
A need for money and employed work, really.
Migraines, sorts of things.
No, basically, I mean, me and Dan have worked together for many years now. We first started together 2004?
It was 2004 with the group. Actually, I found a photo of us from then the other day, and I just look at those young men. Look at them. There's no horror behind the eyes.
Yeah, we're innocent. They're like in those days. But yeah, so we've done a lot of stuff. And about February, March last year, we were picked. Was it last year?
Yeah.
No, not last year. It was the year before. 2010, because I keep forgetting I'm in 2012 now. In about March 2010, we sat down with Franklin Watts, which is part of Hachette Children's Books, to do a series of four graphic novels for them, and we pitched them the Baker Street Irregulars. Done a massive story set between the final problem, which was where obviously Sherlock Holmes apparently dies, and the empty house is when he returns. There's like a 3-year gap. So we did these four books that fitted in that time. But when they went to speak to the higher people and the marketing folk and things like that, they weren't too sure whether they might be told no because it's not contemporary. So Adrian Cole, who was our editor at the time, suggested that we came up with an idea that was a bit more contemporary, just in case, as a backup.
Though I did give Wiggy sunglasses, which was quite contemporary.
You did, and I were quite nice. And we found this out at Friday afternoon at the Bristol Comic Con, and so we had a weekend to work out a new idea.
Because we were going to announce Baker Street at Bristol.
Yes, because we were hoping we should have
went. Oh.
Yeah, because it should have been a sort of a yes straight away, but then it all got delayed. So we came up with an idea we'd had the idea beforehand for something similar to it about Children of Spies, but it was actually at this convention where we sort of sat down and put our heads together and came up with the idea of Danger Academy. And then we never needed it because then about a week or two later, they decided that they wanted to do the Baker Street Regulars, and we went full-time onto that. Mm-hmm. And then it came to San Diego 2010, and I met with Samantha Olson of Kickstart on a couple of other projects, but they were too close to similar to other things that Kickstart were doing. And she said, you know, is there anything else you've got? And I literally said, well, I've got this thing about the Children of Spies. And straight away, quite impressive. I wish I'd thought about it the first one I pitched them, but but she was straight away. She was like, "Well, I want to see more." And of course, we'd never done anything with it. So I'm phoning Dan, who hadn't made it to San Diego.
Yeah, draw the characters quickly. Yes.
So I mean, I'm phoning up about 2 p.m, which is about 10 p.m. Dan's time. I'm saying, "I need these pictures. Yeah, do them."
You and I said we've got all this stuff, and I went, Well, we will do. Yes.
So Dan put them together, and then Kickstart liked it. So it was kind of a last minute thing, but at the same time came from something a lot earlier. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, because a lot of these projects, sometimes you have to jump when you get the chance. So it's kind of interesting to me. I'm just curious, as I talked about the fact that there was seemed to be Harry Potter influences and X-Men and stuff like that. Did you guys write this with those kinds of influences? Did you realize that, like, you've got the Danger Academy, of course, the Dangerous Room, and then there's a Danger, you know, in Danger Room in the X-Men.
Well, the Dangerous Room really was a piss take of the Danger Room in the X-Men. We kind of wanted a room that was anybody could go in there and have the crap kicked out of them, usually by giant robots.
Mm-hmm. It was more like the sort of like 60s spy investigative team.
Yeah, we kind of wanted it. It was very much, if you watch things like The Men from U.N.C.L.E., things like that, you know, where they go into the...
Thrush.
when they go into... just mocking names now.
Thrush. It's brilliant.
We don't let Dan out much, you might forget. It was a thing like from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. where they'd walk into, like, I think it was like a Chinese restaurant, or it was a dry cleaners or something like that, and then they, next thing you know, they're in this massive underground lair with armories and things like that. We kind of liked that idea. Mm-hmm. But one of the first things somebody said when we pitched it was it was Hogwarts for the children of spies.
Yeah,
being obviously in Harry Potter, Hogwarts is the children of wizards. Mm-hmm. So we kind of embraced that a little bit, and I think, I don't know, because the school itself isn't really a Hogwarts-ish kind of place, is it?
No, but then you never wanted it to be a sort of like mystical sort of thing. It's meant to be quite the whole point of being spies.
It's very much
a facade, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very much more the Westchester Mansion. It's more X-Men than Hogwarts. So to speak.
Interesting. Now, the thing I read when I was reading it, I really liked, was that there's a lot of humor involved with it as well.
Very funny guys, Wayne.
Okay. Well, the one that I picked particularly like, they give everybody.
I'll say, yeah, whatever. Shut up.
I just stayed absolutely quiet during that. Yeah. That's right,
Tony. Okay. Well, I love the whole part. Everybody gets named John Smith, and then when they take the roll call, they say, okay, Smith, and the one says here, and another. Somehow they know exactly which Smith they are, which I thought that was a very funny little bit. It made me laugh right out loud when I read that, so that was kind of cool.
Well, I've got to say, there's an actual reason why we did this. It was something that we actually did very late in the story, because originally, I mean, we wanted it to be they're the children of super spies, and we wanted it to be quite an obvious nod to the characters that they were supposed to be. But obviously, when you've got various licenses that are not in the public domain,
you're not allowed to do that.
Say, for example, hypothetically, you had a character that was, say, the daughter of Steed from the Avengers, and, you know, maybe some kind of Chinese spy or something like that. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really have her have the surname Steed, even if she was a totally different character. Or if, for example, you had a kid, was the son of Shaft. Mm-hmm. You know, hypothetically, obviously, of course, he would obviously have a situation. So we kind of decided the easiest thing to do would be to have everybody as Smith and give them kind of nicknames that made them a bit more. You can still work out who they are, but at the same time, you've got that anonymity. And it worked, and when we sort of put it together, it worked incredibly well as a story.
Sort of going, I'll just call him Smith.
But we discovered it worked incredibly well with the story, because obviously the whole point was the anonymity of the spies was sort of kept on with the children. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was something we kind of found we had to do, but at the same time we realized we could do so much fun with it.
Mm-hmm. We fell into funny. Pratfalled into funny.
I've always been a fan of, is it Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where you've got the really dull teacher just doing the name, and he's like, Bueller. Mm-hmm. Bueller. And I kind of see that being the tone that's being said as they're doing the roll call.
Uh-huh. Very cool, because that made me laugh right out loud. Like, how they know which one it's being referred to, and then one says absent, you know, he's not there. And
it's pretty blatant that Smith wasn't there, because he was sitting next to Smith.
I think it's quite nice you said you were inspired by Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Most of my life is inspired by Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, man. So the characters, I guess, the children, are they sort of mixtures of previous spies that we've seen, or are they kind of, is there elements of new to them, or how does it work?
We kind of liked looking at sort of who was our favorite spies when we were kids and what TV shows did we like and things like that, and sort of tried sort of thinking the next generation. more than anything else. I mean, you know, we kind of like the fact that, you know, in the 70s you had this kind of technology side, you know, sort of $6 Million Man, the Bionic Woman, you know, people like that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of wanted to have somebody who was a bit artificial intelligence more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Now, you need, there was also that section where you had, like, you know, the man from Uncle, or, you know, the girl from
the
Uncle.
The besuited sort of.
The besuited, like, kind 60s, of steed. 60s type person. So
yeah,
we wanted to have. We wanted to have that kind of thing. Then you've got the thing, like, in the 80s, there's a lot more sort of fantastical to it. So you've got, you know, like Back to the Futures, and you've got your Rockies.
Not the talking like vehicles.
Yeah, a lot of things like that. So we kind of tried to get every sort of thing we like. I mean, like, we got, like, Charlie's Angels with these three girls who just followed a face, a voice more than a face. They didn't have a clue who this guy was. The voice at the end of a thing went jump, and they would go, okay, fine. So we kind of wanted to do all that kind of.
I just get the image of the big face from Tron.
When you say we should do that next time. So yeah, so we didn't want to actively rip off any spies, but we wanted to kind of, you know, wouldn't it be cool if, like, Steed and Mrs. Peel had a kid? What would they be like? And then it was like, well, wouldn't it be better if Steed and, say, you know, the Russian assassin out of the Bond movie so and so had a kid? And you kind of start having this really weird wife swap story going on, and the kids come out of that meal, really.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That's what a wonderful story.
I mean, we knew that we wanted to have effectively the James Bond Jr. I mean, that's how he kind of got named, because you know, he's son of a spy. He's a female spy. He's not obviously the son of Bond, but he's the son of a female spy. He's Alex Rider. He's the kid from, you know, the Robert Rodriguez Spy Kids movie. He's that kind of character. Mm-hmm. So we knew that there has to be some love interest possible. So we bring in Kitka, and you're not too sure if she is or isn't. And they've got a history. And we knew he had to have a nemesis. He had to have the Lex Luthor to his Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you're going to have spies, they all have. As Dan said earlier on, you've got Thrush and Spectre and Spurge. And Harper. You're just going to say names that you didn't have. You've got Smirch, it's worse.
Oh, dear, dear.
And so you've got all these other things. We wanted to play that, and hence the fact that we created Smash. You know, so.
Well, I like the name of the villain organization, too. I thought that was kind of fun. That was a great referral to all the villains organizations are always named outrageous things, and I always thought that was funny.
And they always have limitless manpower as well.
Limitless manpower, amazing acreage in where they have their special places.
Being bad is far more lucrative.
I think so. But we even pick on that one of the points where they actually get into the base and one of the others looks around and just goes, I want to be a villain when I grow up. Just because you just get all the toys.
One of the things, too, I enjoyed about the book was that it was really fast-paced, and you got all kinds of twists and turns, you know, with Kitka, who you mentioned. You're never quite sure what she's going to do next. We get to the end of the book, and we have an explanation as to what's going on. And did you, when you wrote Kitka, did you have that design from the beginning, or did you figure, well, she can't keep doing the same thing over and over, we have to have an explanation for
it? Oh, no, we needed to have the explanation. I mean, the thing as well is when we worked with Kickstart on this, we didn't actually just give them the script. They were involved from the very beginning, because we'd actually only had a pitch when we pitched. We gave us more freedom to sit down with them and say, okay, what would you like to see in this? So, you know, we had, by the time, I mean, I think we wrote something like about four or five fulls
with the copyright lawyers.
When we went through it, we wrote about four or five full synopsises of the story to make sure it was blocked out and everything was done before we even went to the lawyers. And then the lawyers looked through it and said, no, you can't do that, you can do that. There was worries about, there's a particular line where they say, like, she's coming here. It's like, her son's coming here. And they're like, her, as in Her Majesty's service, her. Mm. And the lawyers were like, we're not too sure if we can use this, but we deliberately not used Secret Service or something like that. So all these things got done. And then we went into scripting. So before we'd even really scripted, I'd already sat down with Samantha at New York about 4 months later and discussed of what would happen if it was a success. And if obviously Danger Academy was a success, we wanted to look at whether it'd be like a sequel. I mean, yeah, one of the things Kickstart want to do is obviously take these books and use them in other medias, like, you know, games or films, etc. And you're an idiot if you're going to pick something like this and create a franchise and then kill them all off or have a happy ending where it all never will happen again. You always have to have that open door. Mm-hmm. And I think we wanted to try and show it that you could enjoy it as a one shot and there's always a bit of an opening. But at the same time, we also know what's going to happen in book two, and we pretty much know what's going to happen in book three.
That's the one where they all die, isn't it?
Yes. And as you can see, we're not scared of killing people off as well, you know.
Oh, so that's true.
Don't get no favourites.
I kill a dog in the next one. Oh, the last taboo. Quite good at dogging films.
See, the interesting thing is that Kickstarter has always had self-contained stories before this book, and I've always bragged on that. And whenever I've reviewed Kickstarter books, I've always loved the fact that you don't know what's going to happen because you're not going to be coming back. You know, if Batman goes every month, Batman has to be back every month. Alfred has to be there. Everybody's got to be back. And so when you have a self-contained story, you don't necessarily have that. We may not see these characters ever again. So there's a possibility they could die, and that would, you know, wrap up the story. But you're the first Kickstarter book that actually goes on from the first volume. And I'm just curious, was that your
idea? In fairness, we haven't yet. So we might not buck the trend. We might end up still being one of the one-shot Kickstarter books. It was a perfect one-shot book, but I think we've kind of realized halfway through the writing of it that we'd kind of harnessed lightning in a bottle here. And there was an opportunity here that this could become a really good series of books. Mm-hmm. And Samantha and Jason and all the others at Kickstart were immediately behind us when we gave it to them. And I think everybody can sort of see this is something that it's a fun story. It's enjoyable. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to sit and say how awesome it is because I wrote it, and therefore I'm going to tell everybody it's awesome. But at the same time,
it's pretty awesome.
But at the same time, we kind of looked at this hoping that people would like it. And if people like it, then we'll get a good response. If we get a good response, sales will go up. If sales go up, then they will want a second book. You know, and I quite enjoyed writing the characters. So,
have you got any response as far as sales goes? I mean, do you know how the book's gone over? It's only been out a couple of weeks now, but how has it done? I mean, have you gotten any kind of indication as to how the sales are doing?
Well, they've not been throwing stones at us. So, or like, you know, we haven't had any letter bombs in the post from
but the post is always ropey after Christmas.
That's also true. I mean, they're still willing to talk to us about other projects. So, I'm assuming that they're not, don't go to these guys, they're terrible. So. But I mean, this is the problem though with comics is you never know what's happening with it because, you know, at the end of the day, the first point of call in a comic is the retailer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could have 100 people wanting to read your comic, but if that retailer hasn't bothered ordering it, they can't. Mm-hmm. So it's a real tough choice because we've had a lot of response and a lot of good response online and stuff. But at the same time, we've had a lot of people saying we've not been able to get hold of it. Mm-hmm. So they've had to like try and do reorders and things like that. It's a common thing for independent publishers. So we're kind of hoping that we've done okay, but I think we're going to kind of get a second wave, which would be quite nice.
Great. Because I enjoyed the book. I think it's a great fun book. It's interesting. It's got a variety of characters. It's got a variety of situations. The pacing's quick. And, you know, it's got a lot of funny twists to it. So I don't see why this book wouldn't go over, to be honest with you. It's got a Kickstarter backing, which is, to me, is a seal of approval because I've loved everything Kickstarter has done so far. And I just think The Danger Academy is one of those books that I could give to a teen or an adult. Anybody could really read this book and enjoy it. It's Harry Potter in that way.
Yes, no, I agree.
So I'm hoping we will see more of it. So, I mean, my vote is I got a review copy and I still went out and bought the paper copy. But
we love you for that one. Love you so much.
Well, I sat down and reread it as a book because, I'd read it electronically the first time. And as much as digital is kind of the next wave, everybody figures, I still love the experience of holding it in your hands and reading it like a regular comic. So I loved it.
I'll say one thing, though. So I interrupted very quickly. Mm-hmm. We can't take all the credit for it. We did have an amazing colorist in Kieran Lucas. Mm-hmm. Kieran Lucas, who we've known him for many years, he's a friend of ours, and he's done stuff with us for Age of One, for MTV and stuff like that. He really did. I mean, he took the ball and he ran with it, and the book wouldn't be half as pretty as it is without him. So we've got to give him a shout out in this because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously he's absolutely brilliant and he has a massive ego. So obviously, by telling him
big
that,
up, probably,
yeah, well done, Kieran. Well done, you.
Okay. I'm not saying quite so bitter. Yeah, well done, I suppose.
Maybe. Yeah, better be better next time. Or we're gonna hit the ball worms on you.
Yeah, less of the content, crayons. That's,
sorry, Wayne, you were saying.
That's okay. Credit to him too, because visually it was a very good book to read. It was very easy to read and very a lot of fun and a real page turner, in my opinion. So I'm hopeful we'll get a second Danger Academy. If you do the second one, are you going to call it Danger Academy 2, like a movie setup, or are you going to say Danger Academy something?
I like that.
well, we don't know because we're currently talking to Kickstarter about a couple of other projects. We kind of always had the impression that we'd get like a Danger Academy would come out, we'd do something else, and then maybe come back to Danger Academy again. We wouldn't do it immediately.
To be fair, that's how we've always said with sort of multiple series of things, is it's good to take a break in between.
I mean, I think we could call it something like, you know, Far More Danger Academy. Go take a leaf out of the Die Hard book.
Danger
Academy 2, Danger Harder.
Danger me gently.
Yeah, I think we're definitely. I think we'd probably call it Danger Academy, and then have like a sub. Obviously, like Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides or something like that. We'd kind of do that. Obviously, we wouldn't call it Danger Academy, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Danger Academy 2, Citizens on Patrol.
There we go. But yeah, so I mean, we're hoping to do something else in the meantime, and then move back onto it. But it really does depend on how well it does.
Okay. All right, well, my vote is to get it because I really enjoyed the book and I was happy to buy it. So I'd be happy to buy another one of those. So I'm really looking forward to that.
We'd like to take you up on that offer and we would like to see you buy another one of those. Honestly, though, we would get anyone listening to this, you know, please buy it, have a try of it. You know, if you don't like it, write down what was wrong with it on the back of a $5 or $10 bill and send it to Kickstart Entertainment. But seriously, anybody who really wants to pick something up for somebody and who's got a friend or a relative who they want to get into comics, this is a really good starter. You know, it's something fun. It's not spandex. It's just full action from start to finish.
It's just a fun.
And every copy you buy gives us a bit of chance of doing another one. And we love doing the characters. I want to do more with them. With the love triangle between Kick Brother and Johnny.
Thrush.
You want to do more Thrush. I just want to kill off more kids, to be perfectly honest. That's just my plan. I've got a death list and I'm just going to take them out one by one.
New Year's resolution. I'll kill more kids off. That's the way it's going to be.
And if you don't do that, what's going to happen is everybody survives. You know, it's what they did with Harry Potter. They killed one of the kids. And everyone was like startled for months. I kept hearing about, oh, my gosh, they killed one of the kids. But you have to do those kinds of things or else it's not considered a serious threat.
One of the things that we had was people actually did come back to us. The fact is we actually do something quite drastic to one of the characters. But we don't do it where you'd expect it to happen. We do it quite early in the book, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And people were quite thrown by the fact that we did that. Mm-hmm. But I quite liked that. I quite liked the episodes where someone randomly dies for no apparent reason because that's real life.
It's like that. Was it Deep Blue Sea where Samuel L. Jackson gets eaten by a shark in the first like 30 seconds?
Or pretty much,
it was?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, oh no.
Yeah, I think it all stems from Psycho when obviously, you know, straight away in the shower, bam, dead. And everyone's like, but hang on, she's the main character.
That's right. But you've got to kill more kids off. So.
But you've got to kill more kids.
Well, that happens during the Bourne movies. The second Bourne movie, the girlfriend dies early in the movie.
Yes. They were going to kill little kids off in the Bourne film.
So if somebody can't find the book, how do you recommend they do? Talk to their local retailer?
Go to your local comic store and put an order in because they can get it for you. It was in previews. If they can't get it, they can contact Kickstarter. Kickstarter can get it. I can't remember. Is it? You might be able to tell me this one way. Is it in Walmart still or do Kickstarter still do that?
But yes, that's one of the things that they do is put these in Walmart. So
you they'll be in Walmart. Danger Academy will be hit in Walmart, which is, you know, obviously across the country, which is quite nice. I've got a feeling it's going to go online. I think some of the Kickstarter books are going online now. So at some point it will be online. So we're going to make sure that it's everywhere. You will not be able to escape from it.
Avenues of purchase.
There were significant avenues of purchase.
Okay. What other projects are you guys working on that you'd like for us to know about? Obviously, there's a possibility of Danger Academy, the sequel. What other things are you guys working on that you'd like us to know about?
Let's see.
That sounded really suspicious. What are you working on? Well,
last year we did two books for MTV. We did The Gloom, and we did Agent Mom. And this year we're going to be doing a series of one-shots that all link together called Department Pulp. which was announced last year, but it's going to be pre-coming out late in 2012. And that's going to be lots of sort of short one.
Yeah, they're linked, but kind of one-shot, self-contained.
Self-contained, but linked by story. And that's quite fun. We've just done the Baker Street Irregulars, which is obviously the one that Danger Academy never replaced. That came out last year from Hachette Books, and we've just done a one-shot for the Times newspaper, so we're waiting to see what happens from that. As I said, we've got a couple of pitches in with Kickstart for a couple of other things, one of which is quite epic,
Yes.
And we've got our fingers crossed on that one. So, So guys at Kickstart, you know the one we're talking about, and we'd like to do it, please. Please, we'd really, really like to do that one. We think it'd be brilliant.
It would put big smile.
Big smiles on our faces.
On the faces
you do
of
that.
Children, which you would
and,
then
and the children
out.
Would love that. we've also got, which we're playing around with an idea for, I would say factual story, but it's not really factual.
Like a biopic.
Yes, because it's based on anecdotes of a rather debonair and suave Hollywood star. Which we wanted to do, so we're trying to play around with something with that.
A cravat pioneer,
and it's just loads of bits and pieces. The problem being is because we've been working for so long, we have so many ideas that we've been playing around with, and every now and then we get given the option to do something. I mean, the biggest thing at the moment this year is mainly those. We did a book a couple of years ago called Hope Falls. Which came out in 2008, and that got optioned in September with Future Films as a movie, and we're currently working a lot with that at the moment, because I'm doing the screenplay and Dan's working on the designs and stuff, so
yeah, trying to bring them a bit more up to date from how I drew
back then.
When I had hooks
and I think that's the biggest thing for us at the moment, because obviously that if we get that, I mean if Danger Academy, someone out there wants to turn into a movie, then suddenly we've got two things that we've then got to go, oh well, you know, we've got movies and blah blah blah, and then we can go and start having a fist fight with Mark Miller. he's the one with them all at the moment, isn't he? Is he the one we have to kill to get the heads? One shovel them all, and there can be only one.
That's right, Tone.
I've never seen you look more scared.
I'm just gonna move my chair over here. I don't know if you can still hear me.
No, seriously, we've got quite a few things that are we've been looking at doing for quite a while, and we're now getting an opportunity to do several of them. So hopefully 2012 will be a good year to get some of these out, really.
Yeah.
Great.
The Gloom as well is now on Comixology. It's finally hitting Comixology, because a lot of people had a complaint about The Gloom because the website that MTV had them on, the pages that well, but now Comixology has done it as they do all the other ones. So if you want to read The Gloom properly, you can now download it as a proper 22-page comic with pages and artwork and everything.
Cool.
It's quite good. And it should be collected and printed next year by, I believe, Arcana. Mm-hmm. So we should have that sorted out by San Diego.
Wow, great. So you guys are really busy.
Yeah, that's just the stuff we're doing together. Would you like to know the stuff we're not doing together?
Well, yeah, if it's something you want to each individual one, if you've got something you want to mention, please go ahead.
Well, my biggest one for next year is doing MacGyver. I'm doing the adaptation of MacGyver, a reboot, effectively, of MacGyver as a comic with Lee David Zlotov, who's the creator of MacGyver. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a big thing for us.
Wow.
Team and stuff. There's just loads of things about it. It's for business. Dan's problem at the moment is that because it's really easy for me to write loads of things at one go, it's not as easy for Dan to draw loads of things at one go.
Yeah, I tried that. It was hard.
So I get to say I'm doing these wonderful things, but for Dan to just be involved with the movie takes a massive chunk of his time.
Yeah.
So it means that I get to sound better than you.
Yeah, I've got some possibility that I might be doing some Wallace and Gromit. Oh, I sound really bunged up now. Wallace and Gromit related work for the Dandy.
Really? Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I only found out today. So that's good. That's all right. I was happy to.
Well, that sounds great. I enjoy your reading your stuff. So much success in 2012 and going forward.
Oh, thank you very much, Brian. It's been a pleasure being on the podcast.
Hopefully we get to talk with you again sometime when other things come out.
Absolutely. Not a problem at all, sir.
Did you come to Earth for the music and stay for the science fiction? Join a guided tour of the minds that make science fiction great. Get on our cosmic double-decker tour bus at www.balticonpodcast.org and see all the sights. Coming up on our right, Time Shifted for your viewing pleasure, are fascinating interviews with writers, fans, and scientists. Streaming in on our left are author readings, con-going tips, and essays. And at the end of the tour, there's always more of that great music that brought you here in the first place. So climb aboard, strap in, and hold on to your petty palps. It's the Balticon Podcast Tour to the ends of space and time.
To get to Earth for the music.
www.balticonpodcast.org.
I'm talking today with Pete Casaza from Big Planet Comics, again from College Park, Maryland. And how are you today, Pete?
Oh, pretty good. Things are going well.
As usual, we get together once a month and see how things are going in your store in College Park. How did December do for you guys?
It was a pretty good month. It wasn't quite as strong as the past couple months because the newness of the DC books has worn off a little bit more. But the last 2 weeks of December were very strong, and even the first week in January started really strong. So it's pretty good. We're definitely doing better this year than last year, so encouraging.
Okay. How did the trades do during December? I know that that's a big deal usually during December for gift giving.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had another really good year for trade books, definitely higher than the last couple of months. The last couple of months, it's all about DC and Marvel Comics and even some other Image Comics doing well. And this month, it was mostly about trade books, people buying gifts for themselves and for other people. Also, a lot of people bought gift certificates, and most of the gift certificates get redeemed for trade books, too.
Okay.
So it was a good month.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. You talked about the DC New 52, the newness wearing off. And the Diamond numbers came out recently and pointed out that Marvel had been the top seller of the month. Do you see that reflected in your store?
Not exactly. I mean, things have slowed down, but still 9 out of my top 10 bestsellers, if you take November and December together, were the DC books.
Mm-hmm.
So 9 out of the 10 are DC books selling better than the Marvel books. Certain Marvel books are definitely shooting up. Defenders, number one, did really well. Even that Marvel Point One book that was more expensive did pretty well. People weren't interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Marvel's got a lot of really good projects coming in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But DC books are still doing very well. We're not doing quite as numbers. If we sold, let's say, 300 Justice League number ones, maybe now we're only selling 150 at number 3 or 4. That's still a really high number, though.
Mm-hmm.
And people who bought other ones, let's say they bought Green Lantern, they're coming in and, oh, I'll try 3 issues of Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try 3 issues of Static Shock. So it's not the rate as quickly as selling as they were before, but people are still experimenting and trying some of the new DC books. And if they read one they like, they're willing to try more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still an ongoing project.
Mm-hmm. Now, the things that I hear are that the bottom feeders, as people refer to them, are actually doing better than the bottom feeders of DC were before, even though they're starting to drop off some, like Blackhawks and OMAC and things like that. But those numbers are actually up compared to where they were in the past. Are you finding that to be true?
It's hard to say. DC keeps their actual sales numbers pretty tight, and that's what they've been saying. I can believe it, but it's hard for me to say. I mean, Green Arrow is selling similar to what Green Arrow sold before the relaunch.
Mm-hmm.
Other books like Blackhawks and Men at War aren't doing very well, but they're not doing terrible either. So, I mean, we don't sell a lot of those. So it's hard for us to generalize from our experience to the larger national numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I believe DC when they say it, but slow sellers are slow seller, whether it's a Marvel book or a DC book, or the difference between selling 28 Green Arrows and selling 22 Green Arrows is not huge for us. So it's hard for me to really say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As far as Avengers versus X-Men, you were referring to stuff that's coming in the mm-hmm. spring, and that's the big thing. They've announced that they're going to have parties on Tuesday night to sell just that book. Are you going mm-hmm. to be opening or doing a party thing on the night before that starts, before Issue Zero comes out?
We're talking about it. We're seriously considering it. A lot of times they've done midnight openings. It's hard for us to justify a midnight opening, even though our Bethesda store's done it once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts at 8 p.m., so we could stay open until 8 or 9 or even later maybe and have cake and cupcakes or cookies and celebrate comics. That's, you know, an interesting idea that we're definitely tossing around. Most likely we'll participate, but we haven't made our final decision yet.
Well, whenever you serve food, somehow all the food ends up inside some of the books you haven't sold yet, so I'm always a little nervous about coming the day after.
It's usually not too bad. Usually we're pretty good about cleaning up, and most people are pretty responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, people are just going to be throwing food around. We generally don't have those kind of people.
No food fights over the stuff.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, cause if you had to pick, of course, you have to choose a side. You have to decide if you're an Avengers or an X-Men group, is my
Yeah, I think our store is definitely more an X-Men store, but Avengers does very well, too. So it's two, you know, as a comic book retailer, that's what you love to see, two really popular titles doing something to get both sides really interested. I mean, this really could be huge for us. This could be a lot of fun. It gets a lot of people who haven't been reading comics recently to come back and check it out. So
mm-hmm.
definitely looking forward to that.
Because they're talking about making it the big event of the year. Of course, like New 52 was last year, they want Avengers versus X-Men to be that. And they're crossing over into multiple books. So
well, they're only crossing over between the X-Men and the Avengers books.
Mm-hmm.
which granted there's like five of each of those, that's 10 books, but I don't think that's a huge crossover. It's not like Fantastic Four is going to get involved. Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying right now anyway. The idea that it's a 12-issue miniseries that crosses over, that's pretty appealing, and each issue will focus on a couple of characters, you know, fighting it out. That could get a lot of people interested. So, positive vibe right now on it, that definitely.
Okay. Getting back to the DC New 52, I keep hearing that the Men of War is probably going to go down shortly. How are the lower of the New 52s doing? I mean, I think it's Blackhawks is the one now that's the lowest, and OMAC's even not in the bottom place any longer. Are you still finding that to be true? Is Blackhawk still one of the lower selling ones?
Yeah, I mean, these books really haven't gone up a lot. Like, the thing about Man of War, I didn't think the first issue was very good, but the second and third issue were much better. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to get those numbers pushed back up. Mm-hmm. But I think they're good books that do consistent sales. I mean, you might only sell 10 or 15 copies a month, but they're selling 10 or 15 copies every month. It's not like they're falling to 5 copies or, you know, no copies. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely found their audience. Their audience is very small, mm-hmm. but they've definitely found the people who like them. Mm-hmm. And they are different. You know, not every comic book can be a superhero comic book. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see. I don't know what DC is going to do, how long they're going to keep them going. I can't imagine they're going to go forever. Mm-hmm. But they're not doing no business at all. People aren't just throwing them away, you know. So some people are liking them.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's supposed to be a big meeting in February, and to which a lot of the retailers and, like, say, DC and I don't know if Marvel or other people are going to participate. Are you going to attend that meeting?
I actually might. There's a Comic Pro, which is a trade group, mm-hmm. Meeting where they set the agenda for the year in Dallas in February. And I might actually go for the first year. Usually the guys from our Bethesda store mm-hmm. will go. One or two of them will go. But this year, I actually might go for the first time. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm always interested to hear what DC has to say and some of the other publishers. Mm-hmm. Marvel sometimes participates and sometimes doesn't participate in those things, so you never really know what their agenda is. But Image and DC and some of the other guys, IDW, they're very enthusiastic about that and really giving a back and forth mm-hmm. Between the retailers and the publishers. Anytime retailers get a chance to tell publishers what we need and what we don't need or what we'd like to see and what we wouldn't like to see, it's helpful for everyone. So it's more of those are definitely encouraged.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall of that meeting. I'd love to be able to hear what's going on in it, because as somebody who's not a retailer, I consider myself one of the comic press. I always would love to know what they're saying in there, what kind of news they've got coming out, or what kind of items they're discussing.
Pretty much everything they say eventually gets reported. Mm-hmm. Retailers talk, mm-hmm. and whatever goes on gets out there through the internet or whatever. And really, they don't often tell us much. Mm-hmm. They like to get feedback, but they don't tell us much about future plans because they know whatever they tell us will get out there. Mm-hmm. But they definitely take notes on what we say. They definitely, oh, that's interesting. Oh, you all support that idea? Oh, you all think that's good? Well, we'll take that under advice. We'll take that home and discuss it amongst ourselves and see what we can do about that. Sometimes it's stuff it can implement fairly easily, and sometimes it isn't mm-hmm. for their own internal reasons. So it's just more of a discussion about what they'd like to see, what they might be hoping for, and they want to see, well, how do you feel about that, and what do you think about this? So it's hard to say, but it's always kind of a back-and-forth dialogue about feelings or impressions or whatever. And a lot of times retailers are pretty pessimistic or down, don't do that, don't do this. And they're like, well, it'll work out fine, trust us. And a lot of times they're right, it does work out fine. And the retailers who were concerned about it really were wrong about being a huge problem for them. Sometimes retailers are right, but sometimes they do these things anyway. So it's not like they take what the retailers say and run with it or tell us all their plans for the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. They definitely like to keep things relatively close to the vest.
Mm-hmm. Now, Detective and Batman are going up to 40 pages, and their cover price is going up to $3.99. And one of the things, of course, differences between Marvel and DC is the fact that most Marvel books are $3.99 and DC's are $2.99. Do you think we'll see more of the DC books go up in price?
I think so. I think the better sellers, I think if, you know, Detective is selling, you know, 80,000 or 90,000 copies a month, I don't think there's a problem from raising it from $2.99 to $3.99. For, you know, something like Men of War, which is $3.99, that's probably an impact on its low sales. That's not able to capture new people because of the higher price point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for lower selling books, I think $2.99 is really important. For stronger selling titles, I don't see a problem with $3.99. If people are really enjoying a book, they don't mind paying $4 for it. If they're on the fence about it, there's no way they're going to pay $4 for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Batman and Detective are both doing very well. I mean, story-wise and price-wise, they're probably doing well. Of course, all the Batman books, I think, are some of the strongest that DC has.
Definitely. He's a very popular character.
Yeah. How's the Superman books doing?
Action is doing tremendously well. It's definitely up there right there with Justice League and Batman and Green Lantern as the bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
Superman itself is struggling. It's still doing well above pre-relaunch numbers. You know, the last year before the relaunch, it really was struggling. Even the last 2 years, Superman was struggling for sales.
Mm-hmm.
There were some peaks there when Straczynski first jumped on and some other interesting things that happened. People got interested.
Mm-hmm.
But it had really struggled to maintain a solid base.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of the best sellers right now, but it's doing very, very well, especially considering what it was doing before the relaunch.
Now, how about Wonder Woman?
That's doing very strong. The story there is really strong. Some people were turned off by the art at first,
mm-hmm.
but I think the story has really won them over. And the fact that they're doing original things with her origin and making it a bit different, really, most people seem to really be enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. It's good to see Wonder Woman do well because she was struggling for so long. It's nice to see the character do really well.
Yeah, good writer, passionate storytelling really gets people to notice and give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Any other things that you've noticed? Are the people coming in and picking up their books pretty regularly?
Not too much. I mean, things are going pretty well. I mean, the numbers on the DC books are fairly consistent. They've slowed down since the number ones considerably, but they've leveled off pretty well. It's funny because we have a pull and hold service, so some of our regulars are like, oh, I'll take this title off my list or take that title off my list. But other people who are coming in who aren't regulars or only gifts in once in a while are picking up those issues off the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, our sales on the DC books have been pretty consistent. And Marvel has definitely picked up a little bit in the last 2 months. You know, people are interested in the X-Men relaunch and the split, and the Avenger books are still doing pretty well. So it's a good time in comics right now. People do seem to be interested, and at least right this second, they do seem willing to spend their money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a little worried about February, and, you know, everybody's Christmas bills come due at the end of January, February, mm-hmm. so a lot of people tend to disappear and hunker down and pay off their bills, but right now things are going pretty well, so I'm in a good mood.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, why don't you give people your information, where the store is located, and your podcast?
Our podcast you can find either at the Apple Store, which is, and it's Big Planet Comics, or at our website, which is, you know, bigplanetcomics.com. And my store is Big Planet Comics in College Park, and the phone number is 301-699-0498. And you can find us on the web as well.
Okay. Hopefully we'll talk next month and see how things did in January.
Yeah. So far, so good. We'll see what the rest of the month brings.
Okay. Thanks, Pete. We'll talk with you then.
Thanks, Lane.
Okay, time for the first news and previews of 2012. And with me, as always, is Ian Cullen. How are you, Ian?
I'm great. I'm feeling really upbeat, but I know you've got a bit of news nature on that's just going to have me going,
yeah, well, we'll get to all that. And Gianluca Glazer, how are you, Gianluca?
I'm much more mellow than Ian.
Okay, all right. Well, let me get my little piece of news out of the way since we'll get Ian's pain done with. Over the holiday weeks, word came out that Warner Brothers bought the rights for the domain names for Green Lantern 2. I happen to like that movie, and so I was very encouraged by that. You guys can think differently, and that's fine with me. I was very happy because I'm still hoping that they get a Green Lantern 2 before too long. But I don't think they would have wasted the money on the domain name if they weren't planning on doing something. So I'm very happy to see that moving forward. So, but we got a whole lot more to get into. Gianluca, why don't we start with you? The three of us have been talking about it offline. It has to do with the numbers for December. So why don't you go ahead and introduce all that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, in December, Marvel retook the lead over DC for the month of comic book sales. It's kind of almost a flip of the month before in November, where basically Marvel beat DC by just like a little less than a percentage in dollar share. But when it came to unit shares, they beat them by almost like 3%,
mm-hmm.
you know, 39.05 as opposed to 37.72.
It's not a great deal, isn't it, really, though?
Well, the thing that's interesting to me is that DC's closer than they had been in the past. So that's a good thing. Now of course, every month now is a bit of news. We have to find out what's going on with that moving forward. But there was an article that came out on Newsarama that intrigued me, then, in which the folks from DC talked about the numbers. And they are much less concerned, at least if you buy what they say, about market share than the comic press is. I mean, it's just like, you know, elections. If you win by 2%, like, it's a huge deal, you know, 0.2%. But for DC, they sort of said, well, they congratulated Marvel, but they also said that they expected this would have happened and they thought it would have happened sooner than it did. So they were kind of happy with things as they are. Now, of course, they have plans moving forward and they discussed a little bit of that. But I was kind of interested to see how they're doing. They said that their number of returns are doing very well. They're not getting nearly the number of returns that people thought they would. So that's a good sign for them. They're also selling issue number 4, and everything was usually in issue number 4, except for some of the miniseries that started a month later. They actually did pretty well in December, and one of the things about December versus November is that December had 1 week less than November had. So you had a lot less chance to make money. But overall, DC has been pretty happy with it. And I, of course, I'm a DC guy. I want them to be neck and neck with Marvel, if nothing else. So I was a little discouraged when I saw the numbers first. But when I read the articles and when I got to talk to a couple of people I know who run stores, I came away a lot more encouraged about it. But before we get to that stuff, why don't I let you guys comment on it? Ian, any comments on that?
I'm not really surprised. I mean, Marvel had to retake the lead at some point or other. The fact that it's in December doesn't really mean a great deal, because December, they're probably not going to be shifting as many comics anyway because of the Christmas holidays. And if anything, they're probably shifting more trades in December.
That's usually the case. Jean-Luc, your response.
I'm with you, Wayne. When you go down to the actual numbers and in some of the circumstances, you kind of expected it to happen, and it's still good for DC, and here's why. First thing is, yes, there was only 4 weeks in December as opposed to November, which had 5 weeks. But, you know, DC didn't ship any, like, new books on the fourth week of December during Christmas time, while Marvel did. Mm-hmm. Marvel also started doing 2 issues per month, you know, of certain titles.
Right.
And then also there was like at least 30 more comics released by Marvel than DC did. Mm. If you look at the top 10, Marvel only had like 2 titles and they were both number one issues. And while DC had the rest 8 titles, which were all issue number 4s.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the things that when I talked to some of the folks I know who run stores, they came back and told me some things that I hadn't considered. One of the guys was telling me that what has happened is that the good books are continuing to do really, really well, but the lower tier books are starting to falter. You can tell that some of them are very likely to expire before too much longer. In fact, one of them, I understand, Men of War may not have much longer left. So that's interesting to see. Now, another thing that I was told that was interesting is that even though that's the case, the lower numbers on what they call the bottom feeder of the DC's New 52s are doing much better than the bottom feeders for DC were before the New 52. Mm. So as far as that goes, that's a good thing for DC. That's a serious move in the right direction. Another thing they told me is that DC is doing really well. Like, for example, Wonder Woman is now considered a solid hit, where before they couldn't get Wonder Woman to sell. And now a lot of the stores are actually pushing Wonder Woman because it's being very well received. Just like Animal Man and the other books that are the big surprises, those books are now up in the upper tier. And so they're all very happy with that. This is good news for the bookstores because they're still seeing a lot more people coming in and buying books. It's not quite the same fervor as there was with new number ones, but it's still a lot of interest, and it's still a good thing for the store. So that sort of worried me. I thought, are we back to where we were before the New 52? Are the stores sort of looking? And the word came out, by the way, during the holidays about Golden Apple being sold, the chain. And I was kind of thinking, oh, no, are we about to start seeing the implosion of the local comic store? They don't seem to think so. They think that this was actually a good thing, and there are moves coming that they think will be good. There's a big meeting in February in which a lot of the retailers and a lot of the companies like DC are going to get together, and they're going to talk a lot about how to move forward. So I wish I could be a fly on the wall of that meeting. Boy, I'd love to be able to go to that. But I just kind of think that's a great thing. It's a good thing. You know, next month I'm going to be curious to see, does DC continue to lose ground? Are they going to stay near Marvel? How's this going to go from month to month? We've got X-Men versus Avengers, or I'm sorry, the other way around. Avengers versus X-Men. The X-Men versus Avengers was a miniseries that came out in the 80s. So this is not necessarily a new thing. And oh, that was another thing I wanted to bring up real quickly, was that I asked them all, are they going to have these store openings on Tuesday night to sell issue number 0 of Avengers versus X-Men? And honestly, it depended on the store. One store said, one book, we're going to open up the store for one whole book. And then they said, no, we're not going to do it. But other people said, yeah, it's going to be kind of a party. This whole thing is really interesting to me moving forward. There still seems to be a lot of interest in books as in general. And that's a good thing for the stores. The stores are all saying, you know, it's been a huge hit for DC. It's been good for the whole industry. So they're very happy with it. If Marvel and DC are sort of neck and neck, or even if DC's numbers are closer to Marvel than they were before, they'll consider that a victory.
Yeah, well, I've got a little bit of news. And this is a bit of Marvel news, actually. There's a company here in the UK. Do you know how you get these? I don't know if you get them in America, but sometimes you get these sort of like books and they come out for so many issues and they usually sort of like build a model or something like that over so many issues.
No, we don't get those.
But, well, we get them here and they started doing one with Marvel. And it's basically all the best trade paperbacks of Marvel. And they're releasing one every week. The first one's at a reduced rate of £2.99. And then the price will go up for, you know, for the second and so forth, you know, to something probably about five or something daft like that. And the first one that they're releasing, and this is something, and basically they're supposedly releasing the best Marvel trade paperbacks of the last 30 years. Yeah. And the first issue is by your favorite writer, Wayne.
Oh, Mr. Straczynski?
Yeah, J. Michael Straczynski. Oh, it's Spider-Man Coming Home.
Oh, okay.
And basically, they're releasing, this is going to be a weekly thing here in the UK, and they're releasing an issue every week. And the first ones, you know, features Spider-Man Coming Home, which I already have it somewhere. It's hidden in the back of Beyond somewhere, never to be read again. But, you know, I thought that might be of interest. And another nice little bit of news, and this is more video gaming than comics, well, it's kind of like both. Lego Batman 2 DC Superheroes has been announced.
Yeah.
And it's basically the sequel to Lego Batman and Robin.
Wow.
And basically it's going to feature appearances from Superman, Wonder Woman, and Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. This lineup of superheroes will be tasked with saving Gotham City from the double threat of Lex Luthor and the Joker. The game will include new areas to explore, as well as new vehicles such as a Batmobile, Batwing, and a host of new gadgets, including Batman's power suit and Robin's hazard cannon. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be coming out later on in the year. So if you're a gamer as well as a comics fan and enjoying Lego, you know, you've got Lego Batman 2 DC Superheroes, and that'll be out later this year.
Okay, you reminded me of something. I don't know why this reminded me, but it does. OMAC had a guest appearance by Frankenstein Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was actually co-written by Jeff Lemire. So That was a really good thing about that. I happen to say it was a great line in the book that I loved so much. It was about Frankenstein is fighting OMAC, and OMAC starts to say, my name is OMAC. And Frankenstein's response is, I hate it when they get chatty. And I love that line. I bust out laughing when I saw that line. That's Mr. Lemire is obviously writing that, because that was a great line. But anyway. Okay, Gianluca, how about you?
Bit of news. Richard Alf, one of the co-founders of San Diego Comic-Con, as well as a comics book dealer, died of pancreatic cancer earlier this week at age 59. He actually used to front most of the money for San Diego during at least the first few shows.
Wow.
So it's very interesting. WonderCon, which is run by the same people who run San Diego now, they announced some additional guests to the WonderCon show. Mm-hmm. They'll have Carol A. I've read some of her cartoons. Scott Snyder and Will Wheaton.
Ooh, be there. Mr. Snyder, always a good guest.
Yeah. You mentioned Fatal over on the other show, Sci-Fi Pulse Now. Mm-hmm. Fatal is sold out at the distributor level, and it's going to a second printing.
Cool.
So.
Very good.
That'd be cool. And then you kind of mentioned this a little bit, but both Batman and Detective Comics, they're going to be increasing page size because they're also going to become $3.99 books.
Yeah. They're going up to 40 pages, from 32 pages, I think, to 40. There's something having to do with the story. And right now, as we're recording this, it's a little nebulous, but there's going to be more information that's going to be released, according to Mr. Snyder, on the 9th. So in next week's podcast, we'll talk more about what this all means. But this is a big deal. And the reasons why they're running these two is, of course, because they're good-selling comics. comics. I mean, they're selling extremely well. They want to up the page numbers, and of course, that makes them $3.99. That was another thing I wanted to bring up about the Marvel and DC thing, is that most of the Marvel books, almost all of the Marvel books, are $3.99 cover price. Almost all the DC books are $2.99. So you've got every issue that they sell, every book that they sell is a dollar difference. In fact, one of the people that I talked with was really adamant. And in fact, when I John Rood, when I was looking at the article on Newsarama, was saying, you know, we were amazed we were ahead as far as we were because we've been selling books for a dollar less than they are. So that's kind of an interesting thing. I wondered whether or not they would move forward. One of the people I talked with actually said they figured DC would do this. And a few hours later, what out comes the news that they're going to up the price on a couple of the books. So I keep thinking I'm getting good information. That's the case with this. So. Anything else that's of interest that we should talk about?
Yes, Marvel has responded to some retailer complaints. And from now on, they're going to be offering their digital downloads as a sticker on the final page before the back cover of their books, as opposed to their comics being polybagged with the code inside, included inside.
So interesting.
They did that. And Dynamite Entertainment is going to publish a new comic book based on the Pathfinder role-playing game.
Hmm. Oh, I got sent a press release of that earlier in the week, but I forgot to run it.
Oh, probably could still get it out there. So, okay. Now, Ian, you want to talk about what's coming? Let's do a really brief segment on what's coming out this week because the previews came out recently too. And I'm sure, Jean-Luc, you want to go in and talk about some of the stuff that's in the previews as well as what's coming out.
I haven't read it.
Oh, you haven't read it? Oh, well, we'll do that next week then.
Oh, well, I'm actually on the previews now.
No, I mean the book. There's like I call it the phone book.
The big voluminous book.
Yeah, it's a big voluminous volume that comes out once a month, and it's full of stuff. But we'll get to that next week then. So
I've been out of town.
Yeah. You've been out of the country. What do you mean out of town? Okay, let's talk to Ian. Ian, what are you looking forward to coming out this week then?
Well, the ones coming out this week that I'll actually be getting are in the post to me, and that's Flash Gordon Zeitgeist issue number 2, mm-hmm. which, you know, came out last week, along with the third issue of Betrayal of the Planet of the Apes. But the ones that are coming out this coming week, as in the week of the 11th of the 1st, mm-hmm. well, the DC'd ones that I get that I'm quite looking forward to is Demon Knights, because the last issue of Demon Knights was really, really good. Mm-hmm. It had Merlin play a part in the storyline, mm-hmm. and Frankenstein, Agent of Shade, and of course Suicide Squad is due out this week as well, I think.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I'm just having a guess because that normally comes out with those two. Mm-hmm. And from IDW, you got the Doctor Who Ongoing Volume 2, Issue 13 coming out. So, you know, if you're a Who fan, which I know that there's quite a few people that I'm guessing that are Doctor Who fans, you know, that'd be the one for you guys to get. Mm-hmm.
Now, another one I think you're going to be interested in is Moriarty number 8 is out this week.
Yes.
And I don't want Ian to go without knowing that's coming out. So.
Well, I'm actually waiting for the trade. I'm just going to get Moriarty in trades as a release of trades as opposed to comics.
Okay. Anything else there, Ian, before we move to Gianluca?
Can't really see anything, to be honest.
Okay, Gianluca, how about you?
Some interesting titles out this month. The Strain number 2 comes out from Dark Horse, and I picked up the first issue. It was just a dollar. It's written by David Lapham. He's writing it. It's based off a Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan book. I enjoyed the first issue a lot. The artwork is really good, and the story is really intriguing, and you're left kind of with this mystery about all these people on this airline flight. So I'm going to definitely pick up issue number 2 for that. Batwoman number 5. Which is the last issue that J.H. Williams is drawing before Amy Reeder. That's who it is. Mm-hmm. So before that happens, I'm picking up issue 5, which also has a variant edition. So I'm kind of curious to see what that is. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Moriarty number 8, which is the second to last issue of the second miniseries going on. Mm-hmm. There's also a second trade collection of Blue Estate coming out.
Yeah.
So if you don't pick up the single issues, it's definitely good to pick up because everything's kind of all tied all together. And so this is kind of like a good – it's always good to just read them all at once as opposed to having to remember. And this – I've been waiting for this forever. Archaea has Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Hardcover book.
Oh, yeah.
And I am running out to get that, you know.
Yeah.
I've definitely been waiting for that since it's been announced because I love the movie growing up.
You was going on about that about most of 2011.
Yeah. This is actually a hardcover at about $20. So it's going to be – it'll definitely be worth getting. So I'm with you on that one. I really like that one.
And if it's as good as The Storyteller, you know, it's going to be a great book.
Oh, excellent. All right, let me hit a couple of high points real quick, like, and then we'll draw this to a close. I agree with you on Demon Knights is great. Animal Man, number one, the fourth printing is coming out, which is going to be fun. Batgirl is out because if Batwoman comes out, Batgirl must also be out. And Batman and Robin's also out, number five. We get Deathstroke 5. We get Green Lantern 5. Legion Lost, Grifter, whole bunches of wonderful things. Ray, number two, which I liked more than most other people did, apparently. I thought that was quite a funny and quite an enjoyable book. Shade number 4 of 12, Superboy, and there's a trade paperback of the first issues of Young Justice coming out, which I really liked. But Brilliant number 2 is out from Marvel, which our friend Mark Miller, not as we like to call Mark Millar.
Marvel.
Yeah, he's out, and so that'll be out this week. That's actually a long time between, I can't remember when the first issue came out, but it's been a little while back.
You guys are going to have to be careful, you know. I know for the fact that that Matt Minger listens to this show, and his website. Yeah.
Oh, does he? Well, he'll just have to take it. He's big enough to take it.
He mentioned the website on Twitter once. I think it was a review that you did, Wayne, or something. And
well, you know.
What did he say? What did Malarville say?
I think he just had the review because he commented on it to the Sci-Fi Pulse Twitter account, and he retweeted it. So
okay. Yeah, you just better watch himself.
Yeah. Well. And I think that's just about all the good stuff worth mentioning this week. We'll be back next week and we'll talk some more about it. We'll actually talk about what happened in the previews too. So we'll have good stuff to talk with about then. So thanks, guys. We'll be back next week. And that's a wrap for the first Wayne's Comics podcast of 2012. Next week, Arvid Nelson will be returning, and he'll be talking about Lord of the Jungle this time, which he's working on for Dynamite. So that'll be fun as always. I always like having Arvid on the podcast. And if you'd like to donate to help defray the costs here at Wayne's Comics or at SFP Now, please go to scifipulse.net and click on the donate button in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. We sure appreciate anything you can do to help defray our costs. But until next time, keep reading your comics.
End results aside, we are not happy. You hacked Justice League systems, disobeyed direct orders, and endangered lives. You will not be doing this again.
I am sorry, but we will.